Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live this December 22nd, 2016, live from it's a cold, dark radio ranch tonight, but hey, the heat's on and that's okay. Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. You know, Micah, if you are, Micah 6 and 7 is a reading for today. And one part of Micah 6 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" That's not a question mark, that's a statement. What the Lord does require of you. And what is it but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? We hope you're doing that, remnant. The rumbling remnant, how about that? We hope you're doing that. Justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with your God. If you do that, hey, there's no law against that. There is no coming against that. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight. I have a few things. I've answered the same question three times in the last 10 days, and I thought I'd present it out. If I've got three people calling and writing and asking the same question, three people that called, that's probably 300 or 3,000 that might have that same question. So I thought we'd kind of address that tonight, and But I'm going to pray that I get guided to do that and that I have the Holy Spirit guidance to do that. So I'll ask you to join me in prayer. We certainly learned from our pastor that that's about the best thing to do anytime, but especially before a broadcast. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this great day you've given us. Thank you for this beautiful day and the breath of life that you've breathed into us this day. Lord, forgive me of my sins, both known and unknown, and Father, I acknowledge you, Jesus Christ, as King and Lord and Savior and the Son of God. And I thank you, Lord, that, Father, you've given us this time, that you've brought your remnant, your people together at this time in history, and this time in our nation's history, at this time in the history of the world, that you've brought us together here, Lord, at this time, to praise you, to worship you, to read your word, to understand, Lord, to ask and to get understanding of your word. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit down upon me tonight, right now, as we read from your word tonight, as I share my thoughts and your scriptures with your people. And Lord, my prayer is that it would edify, that it would encourage the remnant to love and good deeds, that it would encourage them to not grow weary of doing good. That, Lord, it would encourage all of us to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, to seek first your kingdom, Lord, in all that we do. Lord, whether we're at work or at home, whether we're traveling, and no matter what we're doing, Lord, that we seek first your kingdom in our life, in all that we do, in all that we think. And that, Lord, if we will do that, we will be so abundantly blessed. It is just beyond measure. Well, Lord, we thank you. We trust you. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is truth. Lord, we know our heart of hearts will deceive us. Our eyes will deceive us. Our ears will deceive us. But your word is truth, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to apply that. For we know whom we have entrusted, and that is you. We thank you, Lord. Father, be with the remnant as many are traveling, Lord, this holiday season, this time of the year. Father, be with them. And we know there's storms brewing and rolling in, Lord, from west to east, and snow and blizzards are, they tell us, are on the way. But Lord, we pray your protection, Lord, over those that are yours, those that love you, that seek and desire to please you in serving you and in blessing you with their lives and their decisions. And so we pray for your traveling mercies to be upon your remnant as they travel. And Lord, your protection as we go into this winter of 2016, 2017, and into this holiday season. And Lord, we pray believing and thanking you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I understand we have had some issues with the shortwave. But I know they are working on that if they haven't got it fixed already. And so we sure appreciate the prayers that you offer up for that. It's amazing how the signal is able to go out on the shortwave, but it does. It truly does. Well, hopefully you're reading your Bible. If you are, you're almost done with the Old Testament. You should be in Micah. And boy, that's wrapping up, down just a few books left. And you'll be at that that one page that really doesn't need to be in the Bible. It's one page. It says the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New. Because we sure know that this word, it is a full testament. Yeah, there was an Old Testament and then a span of several hundred years before the time of Christ. But it's all one word of God. And thank God for our pastor, for Pastor Peters, and the Holy Spirit that was poured upon him that allowed him to teach us. And that the Holy Spirit used to teach us through him that this is one testament. That the New Testament is made, as the Bible says, with the same people that the Old Testament was made with. The New Covenant is made with the same people the Old Covenant was made with. And so we certainly stand on that. So we hope you're reading. If you're reading back in Micah, you know, Micah 7:7, as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness. And then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will look on her. At that time, she will be trampled down like the mire of the streets. Well, I encourage you to read Micah. Oh, it's encouraging. Oh, it presents Christ again. It does. It tells us that we will go to Babylon, which is where we are today, but there we'll be rescued. And that's back in Micah 4. It talks about the USA. It does. When he assembled the lame and gathered the outcasts, those who he had afflicted, and when he made the lame a remnant. You see how important these Old Testament scriptures are? They're foundational scriptures. We need to be reading these. That's how important it is. It is. So we encourage you to do that. We have a new Bible reading plan that we have mailed out, and that if you're on our Dragon Slayer newsletter list, you should have had it by now. And we've sent multiples out to people that have requested them. If you would like to get that 2017 Bible reading plan, you can contact us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can ask for the 2017 calendar, the Bible reading plan, and we'll be glad to send you one. And we're going to encourage you, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't freeze over too hard, we're going to continue to encourage you to read your Bible. And, you know, you may say, well, Richard, you did that all last year. Well, I'm if the good Lord wills it, I'm going to try to do it again this year as well. And our 2017 Bible reading plan is a little different. It's going to read by categories. We're going to start in Romans 1 and read Romans for a week. And then we're going to go to Genesis and read Genesis for the second week of the year and so forth. And so I'm looking forward to it. It's a different way of reading the Bible. And, you know, it's been a while since I've sat down and read, a whole week's worth of Romans. And my life has changed since then. I've grown a little, you know, I've had to repent a little, I've had to repent a lot. And so the next time I read about Romans, the law, it's going to have a greater meaning. And see, that's what this living word does for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us that are Christians, okay? It equips us for the spiritual warfare that we are to be fighting every day. You know, a soldier in the military that has been a soldier for a year and has had maybe a little combat experience, well, you know, he's at a certain level. But you know, the 20-year soldier that has seen combat in different arenas, that has seen combat in, you know, in with different enemies, maybe the same enemy but in different areas, where the enemy is attacked, you know, one time by the air and another time by sea and another time by in secret. And that soldier that has that 10 or 20 years or more of experience of fighting the enemy successfully, well, you know, that soldier still trains. That soldier doesn't sit back and just say, well, you know, I know what to do. You know, your Navy SEALs and your Army Rangers and that type of stuff that are in a physical battle, they if they're not in battle or having a little bit of downtime, they are training. I know some of them. I know soldiers that they're not deployed right now, and they've had their time off with family, and guess what? They're back training. It's what they do. Well, folks, as spiritual warriors, it really is no different with us. And reading our Bible is part of the continual training that we are to be doing. And the great thing about reading your word is it will edify you. It will encourage you. And I can only say that because I know it does for me when I read it. And I know it does for other Christians when I talk to them and ask them about it. And they tell me the very same thing. And so we are to be disciplined as Christians. And one of the disciplines that we are to have is we are to read our Bible. And so that's what we're doing here at Scriptures for America Ministry, again, this next year, being about the Father's business and encouraging you to read your Bible on a daily basis. And we're going to give you some tools that will help you with that. And we're going to encourage you and follow up with you. So, you know, you might get a phone call in January. Bob. Have you read your Bible today? Or, hey, Sue, how are you doing? God bless. Have you been reading your Bible? Because that's what we are to be doing. So I got a lot of phone numbers of the remnant and got some emails for others. So you just might get asked that. So the best thing to do is to be ready for that. And, of course, you know, the Bible tells us we are to study to show ourselves approved. And you know, that's one of my, not making a New Year's resolution, but that's one of the things that I'm striving to do, is to study more so that I can show myself approved, so that I can answer, have a good answer, seasoned with a little salt, so that I'm ready to answer in and out of season. And that's how each and every one of us have to be. It is. And if we will read our Bible, if we will pray, well, we will move closer to where we need to be. And we will have an answer. And we will be able to show ourselves approved. So we have the Bible reading plan. And if you get our newsletter, you should have already had it. If you didn't get one already, you contact us. Our email here, preacher@sfaw.org. If you're listening into the prayer meeting last night, you can also email us at jason@sfaw.org. And my email is richard@sfaw.org. Any of those. So, hey, send me a Bible reading plan, and we'll do that. We will do it. So how about that question? You know, we do. Some days we... if you've called in here during the day, you know, sometimes we've got a few minutes to talk if the phone's not ringing off the hook. And sometimes it's, well, nice talking to you, I'll have to call you back. Because the phone just rings on and on at times. Well, over the last, I would say, 10 days, yeah, over the last 10 days, I have had the same question presented to me. And I've had the opportunity to answer it 3 times. I hope I answered it the same way 3 times. It is. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we are not introduced, but many of us should be familiar with receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us how we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, that is in, You know what? You watch a football game, and I haven't watched one probably in a couple years, but you used to see the signs, John 3:16. You know, when our Christian brother Tim Tebow was playing, he'd put that on his little, you know, the eye black that they'd put there sometimes. And so, you know, people say that, well, that John 3:16 is pretty much about the most famous scripture in the world, the scene reference. Well, you know, in this ministry, there's another scripture that we should all be very familiar with. And that is, of course, Acts 2:38. And we read, "And Peter said to them, repent." And you know, let me pause right there. One of the reasons that Acts 2:38 is such an important scripture is because that's the command that's given. And if there's ever been a time in this nation that has been needed, it is today, December 22nd, 2016, is repent. Because the message is still repent or perish. And I'm not talking about my last name. Different spelling, different meaning. Repent or perish. Repent or die. The wages of sin is death. Now that applies to me as much as it does to you. Every day, Christian or not, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, of course, is eternal life. But not everybody gets that gift. You have to be on the guest or the gift list, you might say. John 3:16 is there, yeah. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Absolutely. Doesn't mean will not, but should not. Because see, there's something you got to do. I know Christ did it all on the cross. I've heard that. Oh, you hear that on the radio sometimes. There's nothing you can do, brother. That's a lie. You have to obey Acts 2:38. You have to repent. And if you're not going to repent, well, so be it. Go on. Live your life. Your knee will bow one day. Your tongue will confess one day. But it'll be under duress and it won't be a good thing. So Acts 2:38. Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now that in itself is enough, but there's even more. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about, and you know, there's a lot of talk out there about the Holy Spirit. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand all of it, but I can read what the Bible tells us about it. And, you know, to the level of each of our understandings, if we will read the Bible, if we will ask for understanding, God will give it to us to the level that we can comprehend, to the level we are now. You know, tomorrow, next week, next year, we might be at a higher level. We should be. We should grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, we don't do that just if we don't put forth the effort. But if we will put forth the effort, then our understanding of the Holy Spirit will increase. Now, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And those gifts, we may get one of those gifts. We may get many of those gifts at different times in our lives. I spoke with a person and we were talking about these gifts of the Spirit, and you know, our pastor certainly had many gifts of the Spirit. He had the gift of prophecy. He had the gift of discernment. He had the gift of knowledge. Oh, on and on and on. He had the gift of words of wisdom. Many. So we picture in our mind that, well, this person is may have not a gift of the Holy Spirit, but maybe a gift of being able to, you know, speak in public, to be able to stand up in front of a crowd, whether it's a school board meeting or a work meeting or a Boy Scout meeting, whatever, and just be able to speak to people and gather their attention. And you know, that's a gift that some people have. Well, some people don't. And you know, because we have gifts, you know, the gifts that we have to remember, they're not of our own. The gifts that I, you know, gifts that you have were given to you. You didn't do anything for them. They were given to you. When I was 15 years old, I worked at a trap and skeet club down in Winter Haven, Florida. And about the time I started driving to go out there, it was like having a dozen grandpas that lived out there. And one of them, many of them were World War II vets, one of them, Pete Dyson, he gave me a Ruger 10/22. And I was, like I said, 15 years old. Been a few years ago. I've still got that Ruger 10/22. But it was a gift. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It was a gift. And it certainly blessed me, and it blessed him to give it. And I think he's passed away many years ago, but I think it would make him feel good to know that I've still got it, that my boys have shot it just about as much as I have, that it's, you know, that gift is still being used. And so that's in the physical. In the spiritual, Acts 2:38, repent. You got to do that. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about that there's 9 gifts. And not really going to have time to get into all of them tonight, but, you know, they are given right there. You shall receive the gift. Doesn't mean you get them all right then. It doesn't mean that you're going to get every single one of them. And, you know, just because you haven't gotten one of those gifts yet, doesn't mean you're not going to. We have to remember that. You know, God, He deals with each and every one of us on a personal level. You know, God deals with me, He may deal with me different than He deals with you. And that doesn't build, I mean, that, not to build me up or make me out to anything, but it's, you know, God deals with each and every one of us. The Bible is written for me, and it's written for you, if we'll read it and apply it and learn from it. And God desires to give different gifts to His different children. He has certain gifts, you know, selected for certain people. And His gifts, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, is what we're talking about. They're put on people that are godly, that desire to be godly, not perfect, but godly, that are dedicated to kingdom thinking, to and see, there's that dedication again. You know, we are to be dedicated, we are to be disciplined in reading His word and controlling our tongue. If you've heard the last couple extended communion messages that Ramrod, that John's given at the church, it's, you know, it's called Loose Lips Sink Ships. We got them combined into a newsletter article, and that's in volume 9 that's in the mail. You ought to be getting that in the mail any day. And so, you know, it's one of the things God bestows those gifts on, people that are disciplined, that are dedicated to His kingdom, and in that yield their desires to the direction that the Holy Spirit gives them. And, you know, we, as we look at the different gifts, there's different gifts. You know, just to name some, there's wisdom, there's words of wisdom, where you can analyze things. There's word of knowledge, the Bible talks about as a gift of the Spirit. There's gifts of faith. You know, some people you'll meet that seem to have more faith, they just know. They just know. They have faith that's maybe not a mustard seed faith, like a grapefruit. Some people have that gift of faith. Christ is our example in that. He certainly had all the gifts, and He had that. When he spoke, he knew that He was as God in the beginning when He spoke, and everything came into being. He knew. If Jesus said, be healed, it was healed. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, there was no doubt. He knew Lazarus was coming forward. He knew. There's, you know, other gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healing. there's the working of miracles, you know, the gift of prophecy, you know, gifts of wisdom or knowledge many times are talked about as the gift of prophecy, but, you know, and it's not like we have to categorize ourselves, you know. Paul preached against that, you know, when the church was having splits and divisions and saying, oh, well, I was baptized by Paul, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Philip. And, you know, it's not that we should not congregate ourselves or separate ourselves because some of us do or don't have certain gifts of the Spirit. That's not how God designed it. You know, there's discerning of spirits. There's, you know, there is the gifts of various kinds of tongues. And that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of brings us to, that's the question that I got to answer three times this week. And I got to answer them a little quicker than I got to them tonight, I'll tell you that. I didn't have quite as much time with them. But one of them, well, the questions were, or the question was, same question three times was, speaking in tongues. Do I have to speak in tongues to prove that I've got the Holy Spirit? And you know, you, different people are listening in, you may laugh at that. You may laugh at that, or you may get mad and throw something or start, you know, yo, you got it figured out, you know. Well, remember, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to use a little salt in our speech, that we are to be, what is it, quick to hear and slow to speak, right? And we are to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And so, tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the many gifts, one of the at least nine. You know, the ones we just mentioned are just, you know, the nine that we see that we can kind of categorize. But the nine gifts, you know, they are given separately, sometimes together, but separately to the Christians, to each one of us, not according to our needs, not according to our desires, but according to the purpose of Almighty God. Okay? Let's read in 1 Corinthians 12. I've got verse 7 through 10 here I want to read. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so we see that tongues are one of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to continue on in the spiritual battles that we're in. And so, you know, we see that the Bible said, talks about, it definitely mentions, talks about the gift of tongues. In 1 Corinthians, we just read 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 14, 4 through 5, let's read this. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongue, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. And so, I read these because here in 1 Corinthians, and you can read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and I encourage you to do that if this subject matter is of any interest to you at all. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because it talks about that. It talks about tongues, and it talks about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, the question that was presented was, do I have to speak in tongues to prove that I have the Holy Spirit? And so I don't know. We got the phone lines open, but I want to kind of get on through this. But I just, you know, ask yourself that. Ask yourself that question. Have you ever thought of that question? Do I have to speak in tongues to prove that I have the Holy Spirit? And, you know, so let's read a little bit more here. And in Matthew, John the Baptist has a prophecy here. I would say he had a gift of the Spirit, a gift of prophecy. He says here in Matthew 3:11, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so we see that we know there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, but there's an additional baptism. There's a combination that happens here. And then in Acts 1:5-8, we read kind of the same thing, but it's a little bit more. It says, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And see, that means Hoboken, Wisconsin, and Lakeland, Florida, Bunker Hill, Illinois, Reidsville, North Carolina, San Francisco, California, Fairbanks, Alaska, even Laramie, Wyoming, the remotest part of the earth. And so this promise was not just then, this promise was for us as well. Okay? And these gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to enable the true believer and the doer to be able to do, to have the same ability that Jesus had while he was here on this earth. And, you know, the giving of the Holy Spirit, we read about it in Acts 2. We'll read here real quick, Acts 2:1-4. "And when that day of Pentecost had come," and remember up in Acts 1, it had been prophesied. And here in Acts 2, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." And so if you read there in Acts 2, we need to be familiar with this, okay? As you read there and you read on, you know, it says that the people were amazed. Because when you read a little bit further, you read verse 5. "Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language." Now, that's one of the types of tongues, is the Holy Spirit came and let the people speak and read. I don't have time here, and you know, you need to read it to see if I'm leading you down the right path here. And because it says, "Why are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we each hear them in our own language to which we were born?" And read on through and see the list of all the different people that were there that heard the gospel message in their own language. Now, that's what the Word of God says. I believe that. I believe it. Okay? And you know, and right there, so read through it. That's in Acts 2:7-13. You can read through it and see. Okay? And so, now, you know, I've been a Christian for about 24, 25 years. Okay? And I have never done that. I've never spoken to someone that, say, speaks Spanish. I've never been able to, you know, it's a no habla español. That's about all the Spanish I've got. I don't even know the dirty words in Spanish, okay, which is good. But some people, if they know any Spanish, they seem to know the bad words. And so I've never done that. I've never been able to speak and someone hear me in Latin or Greek or something today, or Spanish or German or whatever. But that is a gift. and it came upon them at that time. And so we, just because it hasn't happened to me, I still read it in the Word. I still know the Word is truth. And so I should still believe that as that happened then, it says to the ends of the earth, it could still happen today. And so that's one of the types of tongues. Now, there's another type of tongue. If you read in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "One who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." And so, you know, it seems like there's a different kind of tongue. It's a tongue that you're not speaking to men, but to God. That's what the Word says. "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." And you hear people talk about it. If you want to write down, you hear people talk about a type of prayer language, okay, that may come upon people. And I think that this is the scripture verse that describes that. One of several, but this one at least describes that, okay? And so, in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. You know, we pray at times, and that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that, you know, we pray at times that, you know, when we just are so burdened, sometimes we don't know what to pray. You know, sometimes we're given a situation, whether it's in our own lives or an opportunity to minister with others, and sometimes it is just so overwhelming. Oh, Lord, what do I even pray for here? What do I even pray for? Because there's times we just don't know. Well, that's that helper, that Holy Spirit. That's one of the gifts that says, you know, just in your spirit speak mysteries. That's what it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:2. When we just say, oh God, Holy Spirit, I don't know. Oh, but when we are just so burdened and so distressed, well, that Holy Spirit knows. God knows our needs. He knows our thoughts, our wants, our desires. But he wants us to go to him with them. And when we do, even if it is just so hard, we can't even put it into words. Oh, well, the Bible tells us sometimes that can come out in a type of a prayer language. Speaking to God. Now, I've had some people tell me that sometimes that comes out as a verbal language. Well, so be it. That's what it says here. It's speaking to God. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:4, we read about, it seems like, a different tongue. And it says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church." And if you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12 through 14, I think it kind of ties in with that here. It says, "So also you, since you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church." And so it tells us, hey, if you're zealous, if you're desirous of spiritual gifts, now if you're not, well, you know, just go read somewhere else. Maybe you're just not ready for that yet. And that's fine. As long as you're still, you know, desiring to be godly and dedicated to his kingdom and yielding your life to the moving and the direction of the Holy Spirit and being diligent about walking in the Spirit, trusting God, having faith, okay? If you're zealous, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:12 through 14, "See also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." And so we are to edify. If we can edify the church, that is what we are to seek to abound in the spiritual gifts, so that we can edify the church, the remnant, the body of Christ, our brethren. And so it says, if you speak in a tongue, pray that you may interpret. And so there were, you know, there's various scriptures, many scriptures that go through where people who were baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you could say, okay, they, and the Bible's clear, it was normally through laying on of hands that they did speak in tongues. In a language that, you know, the people didn't understand. But the Bible talks about that they that they did. And it really is as simple as that. And so, you know, if it tells us, 1 Corinthians 14:12, if you are zealous for spiritual gifts. And again, now if you're not, well, this is for those that are. How about that? This is for those that are. If since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. And in back to 1 Corinthians 12, again, I told you, that's where you want to read. You want to study 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because this is where it talks about that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 31. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. Well, tongues is one of the gifts. And, you know, to answer the question, I just wanted to read these. These have been, you know, it has been a, I'm not going to go as far as say a source of contention, but it has not been addressed as much maybe as it could have been. And so, you know, when I get three of the same questions in 10 days, that's, hey, let's address that. You know, I'm pretty stiff-necked and hard-headed, but hello, Richard. Hello, McFly. You know, talk about this. Read about this. Look into this. And so, the question, do I have to speak in tongues to prove that I have the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, one more thing before I give you my answer on it. You really, nowhere in the Bible do I see that it says we are to prove to one another that we have the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not you maybe, not you might, you shall. You shall. And so, if we repent, if we are baptized, we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've read that we are to earnestly desire the greater gifts, that we are to abound, we are to desire the edification of the church, you know. And so my answer to the three different people I talked to was no. Now, you don't have to speak in tongues to see or to prove that you have the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, as we said, there were various, there's several times throughout the scripture that people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the tongues of fire come upon them. And they did speak in tongues, whether it was a prayer language to God, whether it was an edification or a word that was given that there was an interpretation, as the Bible talks about, or if it was a different language to share the gospel with someone that they didn't speak the same language. And that those in those instances were proofs that those people did have the Holy Spirit. But it does not indicate that you have to, okay? There is no scripture that says that you have to do that. You know, when we read of the Great Commissions, to go, you turn there in Mark. We've got, we didn't have any callers tonight. We got a minute here. Let's turn over to the Mark 16. And, you know, it tells us there. And I think we need to start with 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And, you know, it doesn't say that each one of us have to pick up serpents, that each one of us will go and drink deadly poison just to prove God right. It doesn't mean that each one of us will speak with new tongues, that each one of us will cast out demons. Now, you know, we've certainly learned a whole lot from Pastor Cox and the on the Hope is Alive program and the Deliverance Ministries. And, you know, we've seen some people that have truly grown in their Christian walk, and some of these signs have been made manifest, that we have seen these demons and evil forces and evil spirits cast out. And we have seen, I've heard people speak in tongues and seen and heard interpretations for them. Not that it came from me, but I've seen it and heard it, and it falls in line with what my Bible tells me, with what the scriptures tell me. And you know, I have to be like up in Mark 16:14, and I don't want to be reproached by Christ like he had to do them. They were the apostles then were reproached because for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And you know, that's one of my prayers. Lord, let me not be filled with unbelief. And let me not be so hard-hearted that I can't read and understand your word. And so, do you have to speak in tongues to prove or to show that you have the Holy Spirit? No. There's different gifts. You know, Luke 11:10 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. And so if you desire those things, well, you can ask for them. And if it's in God's will, if you're, you know, if it's, if it's a gift that God desires to put upon you, then he certainly will. Then he certainly will. But let us not, as it said in Mark, let us not be hard-hearted. Let us not be unbelieving to what we read and see in the scriptures. Okay? But no, it's not required. You know, there are many gifts. Many have gifts of service that never get up and have a gift of prophecy, that never speak in a tongue, that never lay hands and heal somebody. But they will have gifts of service or a gift of word of wisdom to be able to communicate. And so, see, we all are called. We said earlier, God communicates with each of us on a personal level. You know, he hasn't called me to the pulpit. Oh, I'll bring a message or two every now and then. But he hasn't called me. He hasn't given me that gift. I've had some other gifts, but not that one. Well, I see the line's ringing, but we're just out of time tonight, folks. And I'll call her if you want to hold. I'll get right over to you. But thanks for tuning in. I hope that this helped a little bit. You know, we are to desire the gifts, But just because we're not doing one, you know, doesn't mean we don't have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. But if we desire it, we can pray for it. And don't be surprised. If you get what you pray for, don't be surprised. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Our address again, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And we've got the Bible reading plan out and the newsletter. If you're not getting those, contact us. We'd be glad to send them to you. They will bless you. They will be a blessing in your life if you'll get them. Well, thanks again. And may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you. May His face and countenance shine upon you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.